Continuing with Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, A Doctor's Eyewitness Account, Chapter 26. 3 days later, I returned to C camp to check and make certain my wife and daughter had indeed departed. They were gone all right, and with one of the two convoys consisting of 3,000 prisoners. I didn't know what the future might hold in store for them, but I was nevertheless relieved. For here, they were headed towards certain death. Now, with a little luck, they might escape with their lives. Indications that the war was drawing to a close were becoming increasingly evident. The Third Reich's grave was already being dug. I had a feeling that, at this point in the game, a prisoner's chances of survival were roughly proportional to his distance from camps such as Auschwitz, which meant that my own chances were growing slimmer every day. Whatever my fate, however, at least I could end my days knowing that my family was now far from the paths leading to the funeral pyres. It was neither fear nor despair that kept the thought of death uppermost in my mind, but rather the memory of the 11th Sonderkommando's bloody end, presaging our own, plus a coldly objective attitude, untainted by any sentimentality. As I left C camp, I let my gaze linger in farewell upon the rows of dilapidated barracks. It was with a mixture of sadness and compassion that I looked once more upon the grotesque spectacle of our women and girls. They who had once been so attractive, so meticulous in their toilet and dress, were now shaven and emaciated, dressed like scarecrows, stripped of all human dignity, ghosts of their former selves. As I returned to the crematoriums, I found myself shivering and suddenly realized that autumn was here. It was already the end of September. The north wind, sweeping down from the already whitened summits of the mountains, sang through the barbed wires and made the shutters creak ominously. The only bird that inhabited this god-forsaken region, the crow, flashed against the leaden sky. From the crematoriums, built to endure forever, the wind bore clouds of smoke, and with them, the characteristic familiar odor of burning hair and flesh.